T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Herbie, let's go!
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Get out of here, Tony Gill. You don't even work here anymore. It's the David Ross Show.
Chicago!
Cubs manager David Ross on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Late night, 3 o'clock in the morning, me playing 4 chords over and over again on the guitar and him singing old school 90s rap songs and breaking out all these old dances, man. It was like, those are the times you remember, you know. People ask what you miss about the game, and there's a small part of you that misses that competition, but there's a larger part of you that misses the relationships and being in the boys' club.
David Ross, World Series hero.
He wasn't a great dancer, but he had just enough swag in it, and just off the beat just enough to make it cool, man. It was awesome, man.
David Ross with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Yeah, we're going to hopefully have David Ross today, because I know that things get kind of screwed up. Ordinarily, we talked to him on Tuesday, but they had what's called a baseball game to play on Tuesday, so we kind of moved things to Wednesday, but we're still looking for him, because I don't believe in lying to you. So when we get David Ross, we will be able to talk to him about the stuff that Brunson Arroyo said to Parkins and Spiegel about Rossi being a guy that has some rhythm, can dance a little bit, that he can, the 90s hip-hop stuff is kind of where he lives a little bit. So we will get to that. Other things that we have planned for the show today. Man, this Aaron Rodgers thing is wild. It is wild. Where now you are hearing Jerry Krause's name be brought up in conversations with Goody, the general manager there in Green Bay. So that's what's going on. We're going to talk about that. Like, I'm going to have some fun. Like, I can see you, Bears fan. I can see you laughing at the Packers right now and really hoping that this continues to downward spiral. So we're going to talk about you loving the schadenfreude a little bit later on in the show. But we do have the manager of the Cubs here. David Ross is the manager of the Cubs. He talks to us every couple of weeks. Good day to talk to him, considering the sweep that the Cubs had in the doubleheader yesterday against the Dodgers. They got Walker Buehler tonight, but let's celebrate what we saw yesterday. David Ross now joins me here on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford out in Melrose Park has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. If you don't want to go to Melrose Park, what you can do is go to apford.com and find yourself a car. Rossi, how are you?
What's up, Lawrence? I'm doing all right. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing really great, and I do want to talk about how well your team played in yesterday's doubleheader. But first things first, Brunson Arroyo was on our radio station about a week or so ago.
And, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And he had – Herbie, we got some things. All right. Check out what he said about you in the clubhouse.
Two things. One is just really, you know, on the field, just kind of clicking. You know, he got traded over to the Reds at the same time I did. But we both had come from a similar path, kind of like being, you know, around the same age from Florida. And, you know, there's something about it. We just kind of got along like we were brothers. And so, you know, getting off to that hot start in 06 really solidified him in a lot of ways as being a guy who could be a number one catcher on a ball club. you know, I think it made him a lot more money by giving him that opportunity, because Jason LaRue had gone down late in spring with a knee injury. But, you know, off the field, it was like he was also my speed as well. And that's why, you know, late nights, 3 o'clock in the morning, me playing four chords over and over again on a guitar, and him singing old school 90s rap songs and breaking out all these old dances, man. It was like, those are the times you remember. You know, people ask what you miss about the game. And there's a small part of you that misses that competition, but there's a larger part of you that misses the relationships and being in the boys' club and hanging out late night in the hotel room and shenanigans and all the things that come along with being, you know, too young and having too much money and playing on a level that, you know, people care to watch. And so, you know, those are the things you always remember.
What's Ross's go-to 90s rap song?
Oh, gosh, just any of them, man. Just like anything from, you know, oh, baby, you got what I need. All this stuff from Kool & D to anything. Bismarck, he knew all of them, man. It was hilarious to watch him break this stuff out. And he wasn't a great dancer, but he had just enough swag in it, and just like just off the beat just enough to make it cool, man. It was awesome, man.
So that was Brunson Arroyo along with Parkins and Spiegel. So I gotta know, man, like what's the 80s and 90s like old school hip hop list for Rossi?
Oh my gosh, I cannot believe Bronson's my boy. Oh god, those are some fun days. He's such a good dude. You know, I'm like Rob Bass, DJ Easy Rock, It Takes Two, like, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony in college. I'm a little, you know, Snoop, you know, the original Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Chronic Album, all those things that you grow up in Florida in the 90s listening to. I don't know, it's just one of those. I listen to country music a lot, but I also got some of that Florida hip hop in me too. So, yeah, that's the truth. He taught me, his first one start teaching me how to play a little bit of guitar and chords, and he can really play and sing. And, we clicked early on. He's right. Just a good dude to be around, really good pitcher, and, definitely helped my career, on the field for sure.
Is his assessment of your dancing correct? Cause I feel like, I think that he's probably right. Like I've seen you got some swag. But do you think that you have stepped up your dancing game now that you're a manager, or you had to tone it down?
I think I've toned it down probably a little bit. You know, it's one of those. I think I've probably had a little bit of rhythm, maybe. Like I'll give myself a little bit of that, but like the real dancing, I'll leave to him. He's the rock star in this thing. I've slowed down a little bit in my old age. You get three kids, and now it's just like dad embarrassing dancing. Now that's all I've got in my bag.
Rhythm is all you need. If you can two step and stay on beat, you can be in
that's
any
right.
party anywhere, and you can have a good time with it. All right, well, good. I'm glad that Brunson shared.
I was not expecting that this afternoon. That's a nice treat for me this morning, Lawrence.
Good. I'm glad that you enjoyed that, and shout out to Parkins and Spiegel for providing us with that great intel on David Ross. Yesterday, your team had a really great day. Like the Dodgers come in, and I know that they've been scuffling, but you're still looking at a Hall of Fame pitcher in that first game, and to get him out in the first inning, what did you love about the approach of your team going up against Kershaw?
You know what? I thought they were aggressive. I thought they were aggressive in the zone. Saw the ball up, stayed off a lot of spin down and in. I thought we had a really good game plan of attacking anything we saw in the zone, early strikes. And I thought they stayed in the middle of the field. KB, you know, the ball speeding up on him, a typical KB knock and double, and guys really just looking for their pitch and not being able to afraid to cut it loose when they see it in their zone. I thought we've done a really good job of that for a while now, of being knowing what we do well and being aggressive at strikes.
In the post, you said Kyle looked more like himself from the jump. What do you mean by that?
Just there's angle to the fastball. I thought he's even commented on just the ball a little bit flat in the zone. When it's flat, the barrel's flat. It's got a better chance of some hard contact. I thought he worked down in the zone. The two-seamer had some bite to it. The changeup was underneath, felt like it was coming across. For me, when he's right, he's getting strike one, and he was pounding the zone early. That it helps to get the lead when you get four in the first. That always helps. But I thought he did a really nice job of getting ahead of hitters, throwing strike one. That's his MO. When he's falling behind, that means he's not commanding the ball really well because he's not trying to throw ball one or nitpick the corners. He's usually pretty aggressive to his spot where he's trying to throw the baseball and is really good at executing that. He's been really good for a long time at that. So when he's getting strike one, I know he's a lot more like himself.
It was a rough April for him. How important was yesterday's start to getting him right?
Yeah, I think it was important for all of us. I mean, just he's a big part of this team. He's going to be a big part of our success and a guy that we're going to rely on throughout the season. So when he's scuffing a little bit, you know, it's going to reflect our record. And we've had some guys that haven't been the versions of themselves that we're used to seeing. And it looks like he's off on a nice little track of getting back to where we want him to be. It was nice to see that. It's a big pick-me-up for us. A CG in a seven-inning game when you're going to go bullpen the next game is important, too. I mean, I feel like he just put us on his back yesterday with that outing and being able to throw a complete game and let us be able to use the rest of the bullpen for that second game because we needed it.
Before we go to the second game, I was wondering if you could let me know, how's Ian Happ, how are Nico Horner doing, and how scary was that moment on Sunday?
Man, first of all, what a catch by Nico. I can't believe he held on to that ball. Both those guys, you know, they wanted that game. We wanted that game so bad. These guys continue to fight back in that game. You saw by their defensive play and moments like that, and the offense continued to battle and put up runs and put up some serious runs. So that ball there just about to fall. These guys collide. It was super loud on the field. I mean, just a, you know, two big boys colliding into one another. Happer's okay, a little sore in the rib section. He got kneed pretty good by Nico. Nico got a little forearm sprain. How he landed, I think we can't quite see the video of how what his arm did, but I think just him having playing the way he is, we don't want to push anything. I think we expect him to be, you know, 7 to 10 days with the IL and be back. So all the signs point to good news, even though we've got a guy we got to stay away from for a couple of days, try to get him through the off day and Ian and then an IL stint on Nico. But for the most part, I feel like it was we came out of there with better news than we expected.
You brought up Chris Bryant and how important he was in the first inning of that first game. Overall, I mean, his OPS is 1100 right now. I mean, he's playing at an MVP level. Is there anything that you can point to explain, other than health, on why we're seeing a really great version of KB?
Well, I think first off, like, getting off to a good start matters for everybody. Confidence. He got off, started the season as our hottest hitter and really carried into that. When you've had so much time off, dealing with the things he dealt with last year, and then coming back this year and getting off to a good start, working on some things in the off season, working on some things in spring training, and then that hard work paying off to start the season, you build a lot of confidence. And the guys have been a great baseball player for a really long time, so that confidence comes really easy when he starts driving the baseball and the version of himself. I think he's just in a real comfortable spot, believes in himself, has a good plan, is being aggressive at strikes and balls in the zone, what he's looking for, attacking, putting the pitchers, making them scared to throw the ball in the zone, which is what good hitters do. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but I think a lot of that just has to do with confidence. It's a fragile thing in sports and especially in baseball, and it's a game of failure. So when you get off to a good start and build some confidence, be able to put up some numbers and the history that he has of being a great player, I think all that stuff plays into continue to be free and aggressive and play well without any hesitation throughout the season.
What was the most important thing that Keegan Thompson did for you guys in the second game?
Threw strikes. Honestly, I mean, I don't know how many, I can't remember if he walked any guys or not, but I thought he was aggressive, made the guys earn it, got big double plays, very calm, confident out there, gave us 3 2/3. I mean, probably 2/3 more than I was expecting. I thought he mixed his pitches well. That's a really good lineup, defending world champs. You know, it to handle that moment, first big league start at Wrigley Field,
just showed a lot of poise to me and a mature young man that backed up what we thought about him and his performance on the field. So I think just giving us a little bit of length, not having to go to that bullpen too early, was huge for us.
It would have been easy after the, you know, Kimbrel gives up the home run. It would have been easy for your guys to be like, all right, well, we get this split and it's the Dodgers and we're happy with a split. They weren't happy with a split. What did you see happen to your team after the lead evaporates and then they start to fight back?
That's exactly what it is. The character of our group seems to be shaping up to these guys that just continue to fight and battle. You saw that in Cincinnati when it would have been easy on a backside of a three game set and giving up that many runs inning after inning to just throw in the towel, and they didn't. They continued to get on base, drive the baseball in the gaps, pop some home runs, keep us in the game, and we take it down to the wire and make them earn it. But we didn't come away with a win, but it showed a lot of character in our group, and I think that's the kind of guys we have. They care about one another. They have each other's backs. They're willing to fight to the end, pick each other up when the pitching's not carrying the load. The offense is grinding out at bats, trying to score runs, trying to keep us in the game. And then when the offense isn't going, the pitching's trying to do the same thing. So when those two things line up like they did game one of yesterday, things are pretty easy sailing for us. You're going to have those days, but the character of this group seems to be shaping out that they're never going to quit. They're never going to give up.
I enjoyed watching the end of the game, and I imagine while I was watching it, I was sitting there going, you know, Javi's in the on-deck circle, and I'm like, don't worry about the right side. Don't worry about hitting the ball back up the middle. Javi hit the ball to the moon. Like, that's what I kept thinking. I was like, I wonder if Rossi told him to go hit the ball to the moon, because he took a hack, and you just knew it as soon as he made contact.
Yeah, I mean, that's Javi's swing. Javi's gonna get his money's worth when he swings the bat, that's for sure. Yeah, you know what? I thought we had some things get away from us there, and two runs could have turned into a lot more, and we'd have been out of that game. But the fact that Dylan was able to settle back down and keep it at two runs was huge for us. In that moment, you feel like we get to start with the guy on second. So really, we're only down one. So just, a double in the gap, something special has to happen, which can happen in the back end of the game for us to still be in that baseball game. So I think the real emphasis was keeping it close there on the top of that inning, so we could have guys like Javi and Wilson, the guys that were coming up that had a chance to do some special things to give them a shot at tying the ball game up or winning the baseball game. And that's exactly what they did. They continue to do that. We've done that a lot lately. That was a really nice win for us yesterday. It's really hard to sweep a doubleheader, and our guys continue to fight. The pitching was great yesterday. I thought those guys, Justin Steele, I don't want to not mention his name and what a great job he did for us. Another young man coming in a tie ball game in extra innings against the defending world champs. And I'm sure starting with the man on second doesn't give up a run. So very important outing for him, for us, and Javi there with that big home run to get us back to tie so we can win it in the 11th.
Rossi, I appreciate the time. As always, good luck with the sweep of the Dodgers overall, and have a great night at Wrigley.
Thanks, Lawrence. Good to talk to you, man. Hope all is well. Talk to you soon.
That is David Ross, the manager of the Cubs. Now we have to, put together, a playlist. Like, we've got to throw some stuff in there. I mean, we already have some stuff in there. It Takes Two is in the open that we do. But now we got to play around with it. We might have to, throw Ain't Nothing But a G Thing in there. Like, I'm here for it. I mean, I get it. Like, he was on Dancing with the Stars. That's different, though. That's being choreographed. I'm talking about a David Ross vibe. Like, apparently there's a vibe to it. And I'm here for it. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there hit it to the moon, Javi. Like, don't worry about nothing. Pick a fastball out and hit the crap out of it. And he did that. And he's been slugging. And KB has been on an MVP trajectory through the first month of the season. The NL Player of the Week. An OPS for him of over 1,100. And the most important thing, and I said it yesterday, if they've got any chance, and just by playing as well as they played yesterday, getting a little bit of help from the White Sox too, they find themselves in third place. where if we were having this conversation on Monday, it would have been talking about a last place team. So that's good news. It doesn't get easy today because you get Walker Buehler, and he's wow. Like, if you haven't seen him, wow. He's that type of pitcher. But a good couple of wins for the Cubs in their game last night. And if you want to talk about them, more than welcome to. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to take a break. When we come back, along with talking about the Cubs if you want, I would also like to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I would like to talk about how bad things have gotten in Green Bay and how every Bears fan is rubbing their hands like Birdman right now, seeing if this could work out in a good way for the beloved. If there are four new quarterbacks in the NFC North, that's really wonderful for the Bears. We'll discuss why next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Nothing's really changed. You know, my future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like a phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain which direction that things are going to go. All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired, but ultimately you know, things haven't really changed on that front.
That was Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show, kind of telling you what's going to happen with this conversation. It's funny to me because of the implications for Bears fans, where this guy's been terrorizing you for a decade and a half. And before that, his predecessor was terrorizing you. And the Packers are hoping that his successor is going to be able to terrorize you. But I'm not sure that they think that he's ready right now to take over. This whole thing is amazing. It's amazing to me for a couple of different reasons. One, Packer fans are now, I guess he does a commercial for a local car dealer, and the minor league team that was playing, when his video came up, people were booing him. It's so weird. It's so weird to have a player that's that great. But now that he has turned the tables and has kind of said, hey, I'm going to do me. You guys want to do something? You want to bring in another dude? You didn't give me the help that I needed? I'm going to do me now. And now I've got some leverage. Herbie, what was the point that you brought up about Aaron Rodgers? And if you think that he might cave on this particular situation?
I don't know who tweeted it, but he brought
Clinton Yates, maybe?
Maybe Clinton Yates. He brought up a great point that if you think Aaron Rodgers is going to cave to your demands, the man does not talk to his family anymore. Not at all. He cut him out of his life. Think about that. He's sticking to these guns.
Cold-blooded.
That's what that guy is.
And whatever you think about that situation, know that going into this negotiation, he's a jerk, probably. But he sticks to his guns. Once he feels a certain way about something, he stays there. He's stubborn as hell.
You know, when I was covering the Bears on an everyday basis, I thought it was interesting that one of the people that Jay Cutler called friend was Aaron Rodgers. Now, some of that had to do with Jay mentoring Jordan, because Jordan was a quarterback at Vanderbilt as well. But it always struck me that they were similar in some ways. In some ways, they're completely divergent, no pun intended. But in a lot of ways, they're similar. So here's what I've been doing. This morning, I've been texting my friends who cover the Packers or have covered the Packers. And I've been asking them, did they see something like this coming? And a lot of them have been like, yes, we have. And some of the ways that they describe Aaron Rodgers is the way that I describe Jay Cutler to people. And just so you know, I never had a problem with Jay. I enjoy covering Jay, partially because of what I'm going to tell you. If you wanted to actually talk football with Jay Cutler, he would indulge you. And if you knew what you were doing or kind of sort of sounded like you knew what you were talking about, you could have a conversation with Jay about football. The other stuff, he really had to know you. Like, he would mess around with us occasionally, but there was always a distance. Like, no one was ever going to be close to Jay. Like, that wasn't going to happen. And from what I'm hearing from my peeps who cover and covered Aaron Rodgers, that's another similarity between the two. If you show Aaron Rodgers that you know a little bit about the game or you're interested in learning about the game, he would indulge you. But there's a wall that's been put up. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. To each their own. You know, as long as I'm treated with respect and I treat you with respect, that I don't mind that. That doesn't bother me. Like I said, I had no issues with Jay because of stuff like that. But I do think that that part that Herbie was just talking about is significant. If you think that the man isn't strong-willed enough to sit out or walk away, I would say that there's enough of a history that tells you that that is not the case. And I know that people don't look at it this way, but I really want you to start thinking about this. The money that he may owe them as far as bonus money or the money that he's walking away from, he can get that money. He can get that money if he is the Jeopardy host. Shout out to LeVar Burton. He can get that money. Aaron Rodgers will become the biggest free agent in the history of sports broadcasting if he retires. He will make Tony Romo money if he wants to do that. He may have also banked all of his money, too. I don't know. I imagine a guy like that is fairly responsible with his cash. But he clearly has other interests that he is not afraid to show you that he has. And now, with there being, like really think about it methodically. Like, try to think about it like he is. Start throwing your name out there. Man, I really love Jeopardy. I'd love to replace Alex Trebek. Oh, let's bring the quarterback in here and let's see if he can host Jeopardy. I thought that he was a little dull, but adequate in the role, and he brings some recognition to it. Then you hear people going, he might have the job if he wants it. He's been playing the long game this whole time. He's been doing the Kaiser Sose thing the whole time. And what he's been able to do is create leverage on two different levels. One, the Denver Broncos are out here making bad draft choices because they think that he's going to be their quarterback. The Packers are looking into tampering because of this. And two, okay, maybe it isn't football. I'm prepared to walk away from football. And I got stacks and stacks on stacks on stacks on stacks waiting for me out there too. It's a really interesting gambit. I'm rooting for him for a lot of reasons. One, I like to see people empowered. Two, it really helps the Bears. Because I don't know how good Jordan Love is, but I know that he's not going to be ready to be great right now.
Do you remember when Brett Favre was like, I'm out after like year three? They're like, all right, deuces.
See you later. That's not what's happening here.
No.
Here they're like, no, we're going to work all of this out. And Aaron's like, no, we're not. You're Jerry Krause. He apparently took all of this stuff personally, like another sociopath that you know.
To his credit, he did his job. But Jerry had the little man problem. He grew up little fat kid, not a lot of money. He was always the underdog. And he just couldn't control that part of him that needed credit.
All the attention is going to Michael and Scotty and Dennis and Phil. And Krause was growing resentful about this.
Now, Goody hasn't, I don't think, done that. But the fact that apparently Aaron Rodgers has invoked Jerry Krause's name, not great. And he's not talking about the championship building. You're going to see a lot of people pushing back with Jerry Krause won 6 championships. That is not what Aaron's saying about Goody. He's saying you're someone who is meandering and someone who is inside this, and we don't want you here.
Michael Jordan waded into the undertone of bitterness on the Bulls when asked what the Bulls' biggest challenge would be this year. Michael glancing up at the office of GM Jerry Krause.
Shout out to Rich King in The Last Dance. We'll keep the Happy Bears talk going. Alex Brown is going to join me to talk about this year's draft class next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
You still want to address it, but you want to have something where if the quarterback position isn't top-notch, isn't the Burrow, isn't Aaron Rodgers, then you still can win football games. You still can be competitive in this league, and that's through defense and running the ball. But if for some reason you do hit that quarterback, that mid-round quarterback, where he doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer, but a guy that can play the game and really play the position, now you have something. Now you got something where you can build on, and that's I think that's the way to go. But hell, I'm not the GM. If I was, that's the way I would go.
Perhaps Alex Brown has a future as a general manager. Some prescient stuff there from 9-6. Top 5 sack leader of all time in Bears history joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out Melrose Park, or you can just go to apford.com. It is Alex Brown. What's up, AB?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right, man. I heard some really smart stuff from an Alex Brown is in the lead in there about this. So now that the Bears did it, what was your reaction when you saw they traded up and got Justin Fields?
My reaction was I was very happy about where we got him. I mean, I think he's a top-notch talent. I think he can come in and he can be a really good player in this league. I don't know if I'm not going to go out on a limb like a lot have about how some did with Trevor Lawrence and saying that he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I think the kid can play and I think he can make plays with his feet. I think he keeps his eyes down the field and he can make all the throws. So the one thing that's really bugging me right now is everybody's talking about, as far as Chicago, I just hear so many people talking about how he should sit and don't rush him and don't do this. Well, hell, nobody in Jacksonville is saying that.
No, they're not.
Trevor Lawrence is the guy. Trevor Lawrence is the guy from day one. Why can't our quarterback be the guy from day one? I don't get it. Like, the Jets isn't saying that. So, like, I don't understand. Like, just is it where you're picked? If he had been the number one pick, would it be okay then to put him in day one? Like, it's the kid's job, man. They moved up for a reason. I love Ryan Pace. I think everybody knows that.
That's your guy.
Coach Nagy, yeah, that's my guy. And he and Coach Nagy, they're not on the most solid ground. This kid can't sit for a year or two waiting around because they need to have successful seasons. They need to have this football team start to move in the right direction, even though they made the playoffs this past year.
I don't imagine that he sits for a whole year. What I imagine is going to happen is they're telling people right now that Andy Dalton's their quarterback because they did give that man $10 million to be their quarterback. And what I imagine happens is they're going to let Justin take the job from him, but he has to take it from Andy Dalton and it not be given to him. That's what I imagine is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. He will. If we're really talking about a true quarterback competition, okay, not this BS that we saw a couple years ago, or actually last year with Trubisky and Foles, and all of a sudden Trubisky can't run the offense. Now, if we're talking about a true quarterback competition, I mean, we're talking in a week, this kid's going to take over. I mean, Andy Dalton's been a good pro in this league. He's led teams to the playoffs a number of times, but this kid's a different animal, man. He's a different animal, and I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I mean, you being 11th pick in the draft, I mean, it's hard to – I guess it's hard sometimes to say you got a chip on your shoulder, but when you look at the guy that was chosen number one and Justin Fields, they played against each other in a 7-on-7 competition, and Justin beat him, Trevor Lawrence, that is. And then they played in college, and Justin beat him. And everybody still believes – Trevor Lawrence is better than Justin Fields. So there is a chip on this kid's shoulder to prove that he is here. And I said it before on other shows that what I would like for him to do is just channel that energy and make sure that he's not trying to prove people wrong, just prove that the Bears were right for moving up to get him when they did.
Okay, well, let's take something that's a little painful and a little personal. You've had moments like this in your career where you were upset about playing time. You were upset about Mark Anderson getting your job, knowing that man couldn't play against the run. You were upset about all of those things. How did you take that and use it, but not let it consume you?
I voiced my opinion throughout training camp. And if somebody asked me, but I was not a distraction. I tried not to be a distraction to the team and what the team goals were. So I came out, I did my job. At the end of the day, it's a job, and that's what you have to look at it that way. And when you get your opportunity, you got to make the most of it. Hell, that's how I got in. That's how I got in the position in the first place. Brian Robinson had some unfortunate things happen off the field. I believe it was a DUI, and he got suspended for a game. And I got my chance, and I ain't look back. Now you got a kid that come in, and Mark Anderson, that he gets 12 sacks. And, I mean, I guess the coaching mind is, well, he got 12 sacks on 30% of the plays. What if he gave him 60% or 70% of the plays? Would he be able to increase that production? And that was not the case, because most of those downs that brings you to that 60, 65, 70% our rundowns, and he wasn't very good at that. So it was just rushing the passer. So my opportunity came, and no, I wasn't happy, but the team is first. So you can voice your opinion, but then when it's time to play ball, it's time to play ball. And you take on your role, whatever that is for that particular game, I'll say, because games, it changes. You just never know. You're an injury away from being the starter.
What did you think of them going after the tackles with the next two picks that they made?
Loved it. Loved it. We knew at some point, if they had the opportunity, they were going to address the quarterback position, right? At some point, if they had that opportunity. And then we knew, like, cornerback was an issue, and the offensive line, you needed an upgrade at just talent-wise throughout the offensive line. I mean, I think Olin has said it so many times. You look across the offensive line, and we got – free agents and late round picks. Not to say you can't get players from that, but let me get some pedigree in there. Let me get some true talent in there. And you go out and you get a kid. You get a kid like Tevin Jenkins. And I mean, the kid, he just looks the part. I mean, he looks like a guy that could be starting for you, whether that's right or left tackle. I think you can start right tackle right away. Left tackle, I think, is going to be a little difficult at first, but I think he can he'll catch up to speed and get things rolling.
I got to ask you, because you played against Aaron Rodgers. When you see what's going on in Green Bay, what has it got you thinking about?
Hell, get him out of there. Hey, we can't beat him, too. Get him out of there, man. Nah, if he want to go, they'll go trade him. We don't need him now. We got Justin Fields, so we don't need him. So we'll need to give up all that draft capital to try to grab a guy like that. But send him to the Giants or send him to the AFC or something. But if you want to get him out of the NFC North, please, by all means, get him out of there, because we struggle beating that guy and his, and the teams that he has. I mean, I know he has a lot of complaints of the talent around him, I guess, for receivers and all that. But my gosh, for some reason, we can't beat him. So as far as my opinion on what he's doing, I think players and teams, they aren't viewed equally with the fans, because teams can pretty much do whatever the hell they want, and it's okay. A team can sign you to a five-year deal, and they cut you 2 years into that deal, and for some reason, they find it to be justified. And look at the Bears. I mean, hey, they got away with it. I mean, they got rid of Lovie Smith after a 10-6 season. You know, Tampa Bay gets rid of Dungy after a playoff run. It's just the team is always okay to do it. But when a player says he don't want to be somewhere, or he don't want to play for this amount of money, it's, well, you signed the contract. Well, so did the team. They're not the only ones that signed the contract. So if a team has that ability to move on from a player, why can't the player have the ability to express his interest in moving on from that team? So I don't have a problem with it. It's just how you go about it. And I think Aaron is going about it as best you could. He just happens to be coming off NFL MVP or offensive MVP or whatever it was that he got, probably his best year in the NFL, and now he's doing that. So I think it'd be really weird for a team to get rid of a player like that. But, I mean, crazy things have happened. I mean, ever since Joe Montana, I saw him in a Kansas City uniform. I haven't – nothing's off the table. So Joe Montana was supposed to be a 49er forever, and when I saw him in a KC uniform, I was like, okay, yep. Anybody can be traded. Anybody can play for a different team.
Well, AB, I appreciate the time and you breaking all this stuff down. And I think that you echo the sentiments of a lot of Bears fans of get him the hell up out of here when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that would be great. Man. Everyone's good. Tony's doing well.
Man, everybody's good. Tony's getting his time. He's in that position where he has to. Whenever you get your chance, man, you just got to take advantage of it. And I think he's doing a good job of that right now. So I think he will get an opportunity to start this year. And it's just going to be how he performs from there. So it's going to be fun, man. I like watching him. I'm glad I'm close so I can go and see him. But, my gosh, I'm telling you, I don't know if the buzz around the Bears have been like this in a long time, man. I'm really excited.
It's wonderful,
for the season
man.
Coming up.
It really, yeah, like, it's so much fun to actually talk to Bears fans that are excited about where things stand. And, like, them making that trade and choosing Justin Fields completely changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree, man. Bear down, man. Let's go.
See, there it is right there. AB, yeah. Thanks for being on the show, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Always, baby. Absolutely.
That is Alex Brown. Good old number 96. We haven't talked to Cole Wright about the Bears, and we can talk about yesterday's doubleheader. He was working all night yesterday, so we are going to make sure that we change that. Bears talk, Cubs talk. Cole Wright next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!